today on Compassion Radio.
When we seek the approval of men more than the approval of God, we run the risk of lying to God about our situations.
And we may convince some men and women that we are telling the truth, but never God. And it seems to me that in the situation, the Holy Spirit is so close and so present that they're playing with fire, literally. It seems severe and harsh, perhaps because we are used to thinking in terms of human consequence, not of eternal consequence that God himself in his holiness would execute, because his very presence is holy and cannot be contradicted.
This is Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. You know, when you spend your life looking for Jesus around every corner, he's bound to show up. And when he does, it's safe to say that he'll be bringing powerful ministry opportunities with him. And friends, that means your chance to be a part of something that will count for eternity. I'm Frank Montenegro, and today we're bringing you the next installment of a series called Chasing the Word, where Bram and his wife Sandy are taking a look at the historical mission of the Christian Church. Here's Bram and Sandy to start things off.
Sandy's back with me in studio today for the next chapter in our Chasing the Word series. Sandy, welcome back to Compassion Radio.
Thank you. It's always fun to be here.
As if you could ever escape it.
Yeah.
This is the kind of work we take home with us every night, and we are thrilled to do so. It's kind of been guiding our own personal devotional life in the past few weeks. We're thinking in terms of how do we prepare for something that's going to be public. As we process the scripture together, we're going to sit down and talk about it with all the people in Compassion Radio's listening audience. And we thank you all for joining us today.
Yeah, it's been really fun to translate our daily devotional time into something that others are going to be hearing. It's been a little scary to me because I am by no means a biblical scholar. In fact, I'm a social worker by trade and a homeschool mom. So all of the things that we share with each other are straight from the heart, and I believe straight from the Holy Spirit working in us.
Yeah. There's something about Christian radio which lends itself either towards recycling pulpit ministry, and some of the greatest preachers in our country are on the air with us throughout the networks and stations where we broadcast. But I haven't seen a whole lot of times when couples have sat down together to try to, by example, just kind of lead the way. And my biggest hope, as we discussed this, honey, was to see that men and women in marriages or individuals who are lonely or want to get deeper in the Word or for whatever their reasons might be, are wanting something more than just sitting down to read their Bible. We need to do both. We need a personal time of reflection just with the Holy Spirit speaking to us. But we also need to be able to communicate what God's moving in our hearts and refine it, like a refiner's fire, like iron sharpens iron. When we speak to each other, we sharpen our understanding and our deepening of understanding.
Well, I think some of the funnest times for us have been when we've disagreed about what we think the scripture is saying there. And it's been fun to, I guess, some ways hash that out between us and discuss what we think is happening, to come to then what some people say an agreement to disagree, or we come to a completely different agreement about what both of us thought.
After we both thought it through.
Yeah.
Now, again, our objective for this time is that we would take advantage of these 26 minutes to show how it can be done. And our reason for why we're doing that is because we are hoping to inspire and encourage more missional living within the church body. Because the people that give to our projects, the people that support this ministry, are the kind of people that want to see the Word of God advance wherever God is at work in this world. And right now we need to, I think, buckle down and focus on encouraging the church in believing and knowing and understanding and experiencing that God is in fact at work right now, even when our idols fall, even when our heroes seem to crumble in front of us. There's a lot of stuff happening the past couple of years in the American church, which is just downright scary and discouraging. If we just looked around us to those examples, as we see in the media, we would say, why in the world would anybody want to become a Christian?
Right.
Well, those of us who know the Lord know it's not always easy to be one. There's something much more valuable here than just a expensive club membership.
Or just a group to belong to.
Yeah. There is real power here, and there always has been. So let's dig into the Word, honey, and continue our journey through that first missional church, the one that God sent on their way through a lot of extraordinary circumstances. In the chapter of Acts number 5, we see the first real persecution of the church is about to be unleashed. Last chapter, we found that there was a real honeymoon going on in the city of Jerusalem with the believers. They had favor with men and women of all stripes in the city, and even those who wanted to persecute them then backed off. They knew that the people were being deeply moved by what they were preaching and by the miraculous signs and wonders that were happening. So now we begin chapter 5. Do you mind reading a few verses there for us?
Sure, and I'm reading out of the Passion Translation. Now a man named Ananias and his wife Sapphira likewise sold their farm. They conspired to secretly keep back for themselves a portion of the proceeds. So when Ananias brought the money to the apostles, it was only a portion of the entire sale. God revealed their secret to Peter. So he said to him, Ananias, why did you let Satan fill your heart and make you think you could lie to the Holy Spirit? You only pretended to give it all, yet you hid back part of the proceeds from the sale of your property to keep for yourself. Before you sold it, wasn't it yours to sell or to keep? And after you sold it, wasn't the money entirely at your disposal? How could you plot such a thing in your heart? You haven't lied to people. You've lied to God. The moment Ananias heard these words, he fell over dead. Everyone was terrified when they heard what had happened. Some young men came in and removed the body and buried him. 3 hours later, his wife came into the room with no clue what had happened to her husband. Peter said to her, "Tell me, were the two of you paid this amount for the sale of your land?" Sapphira said, "Yes, that's how much it was." Peter said to her, "Why have you agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? I hear the footsteps of those who buried your husband at the door, and they're coming here to bury you too." At that moment, she dropped dead at Peter's feet. When the young men came in, she was already dead. So they carried her out and buried her next to her husband. The entire church was seized with a powerful sense of the fear of God, which came over all who heard what had happened.
Now, we've read that story in the church ever since the day it happened. In some ways, it's a cautionary tale, honey. But I still marvel at a couple of things. One, doesn't it seem really severe? I mean, there's a lot of times when lying happens in the church. And there's a lot of times when people are called to repentance for having lied, for having tried to cheat or embezzle or whatever. The church has been rife with these kind of sins since the beginning. They're still going on in churches across the world, and they have to be ferreted out, and sometimes the law gets involved. But this is something way above the law that's going on here. Mm-hmm. So I want to ask you first, what do you think is going on that's so unique here?
When we originally talked about this chapter, it reminded me of the Garden of Eden, even where the relationship that Adam and Eve had with God was severed because they lied to him.
You're listening to Compassion Radio. Coming up next, more biblical insight on the historical mission of the Christian church.
It was Desmond Tutu who said, "Hope is being able to see that there is light despite all of the darkness." Friends, this is Bram Floria, and I'd like to tell you about a wonderful opportunity for you to help some of the most at-risk people in the world, children and infants. To bring them out of the darkness of destitution and abandonment and into the hope of a bright future and a better life. It's Store of Hope in Johannesburg, South Africa, and it's seen thousands adopted, fostered, or even reclaimed by family members who had originally abandoned them. The good news is that there are already two very successful baby houses in existence, and our Compassion Radio partners like you had a big part in making those happen in the past. But we all know that babies don't stay babies forever, and that's why Door of Hope, in partnership with Compassion Radio, is seeking again this year to continue the construction of Hope Village. This transformational project will feature a large park playground, a school even, a church, a farm, and will eventually be completely self-sustaining. The kind and loving staff at Hope Village will provide each and every child with spiritual training and education, as well as a marketable skill to use when they grow up. Your financial gift will help ensure that each of these little ones has a chance at a bright and successful future. So please, pray and ask God how He would have you help. When you give, you'll be changing the eternal destiny of one child or more, desperately in need of hope right now. And here's the best part. For the first time ever, we have a special challenge grant on this project of $4,000 for this month, which means every dollar you give is going to be doubled if you will give now. Please call us at 1-800-868-2478 during business hours Pacific time or go to CompassionRadio.com to give right away. You can also write us at P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Again, that's 1-800-868-2478 or go to CompassionRadio.com. And our mailing address again is P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And if you've got a smartphone or a tablet, just text the word KIDS to 53445. That's the word KIDS, K-I-D-S, 253-445. Thank you again for your willingness to be part of what God is doing in the lives of these children and infants in South Africa through the 2019 Compassion Radio Door of Hope Project. God bless you.
Celebrating 75 years in Christian broadcasting, this is Compassion Radio.
That does not bode well, to try and hide our sin, to hide your sin from God. But I think one of the things that strikes me about this is that they conspired together to commit fraud.
And fraud to whom is the question.
Right. Well, there are countless numbers of scripture. I mean, we read it all throughout Proverbs and in the Psalms. It says God hates lying lips. I mean, the word hates. And for God to make that strong of a statement about something, I want to take note of that.
I do, too. I'm still troubled about the issue about the lack of repentance available. The man walks in there and sticks to his story, and he's confronted by Peter prophetically, saying, we know this is going on. You're sure you're going to stick with that story? Mm-hmm. It seems to me like he had a little bit of a window there to make a choice, and he didn't make the choice that would have led to repentance or restoration. His heart was hard at that point, and the consequences were deadly. Mm-hmm. Not just that he would be kicked out of the church, excommunicated, or given over to the courts to be punished for his crime. He had sinned against the Holy Spirit somehow so grievously that he drops dead. That's why I'm troubled by the scripture in that regard, because, of course, we grow up wanting mercy for ourselves and justice for everybody else.
Right.
That's just the way we think and feel. We don't want to face the consequences of our own actions, especially in the hands of a just and almighty God. But it seems to me that in this situation, something big is going on in the entire community.
Well, there's a lot going on. A lot of people have sold their belongings, giving all their money to the church.
And the rich are already selling properties.
Right. Perhaps, and this is all speculation on our part, but perhaps there is a little bit of jealousy in Ananias and Sapphira.
Perhaps.
Hey, you know what? These people are getting recognition for this great thing that they're doing, and we kind of want some of that. We want in on that. And it goes back to our craving the approval of men.
Yeah.
And being enamored with that. And that has historically been the downfall of many. Even Satan himself was wanting to be admired by his fellow angels to the point where he wanted to be greater than God.
Yeah.
Oftentimes, we don't look at it this way, but when we seek the approval of men more than the approval of God, we run the risk of lying to God about our situations.
In front of others.
Yes.
And we may convince some men and women that we are telling the truth, but never God.
Right.
And it seems to me that in the situation, the Holy Spirit is so close and so present that they're playing with fire, literally.
Right.
It seems severe and harsh, perhaps because we are used to thinking in terms of human consequence, not of eternal consequence that God himself in his holiness would execute because his very presence is holy and cannot be contradicted. So it seems to me like the story of Sapphira and Ananias is one of wanting glory on the cheap. They want the recognition for being part of this great movement, but they want to hold back some extra mammon for themselves, but make it look like they're
just
being generous people. Hedging their bets, whatever it is. And that is at a time when God knows that the next thing around the corner is going to be intense and severe persecution of his body. And he's very jealous for his bride.
Right.
And he knows they're going to need every penny they have in their backpacks to be able to avoid the fate of so many.
Mm-hmm.
Many are going to die. Most are going to be chased out. We know this because we read the historical record after this. But at that moment, we don't know what God's going to be up to in the chapters to come, in the years to come for the church around the world, and what's going to mean for the diaspora to be kicked out and bring the gospel to the entire world. They don't know it either. They're facing things that God knows is coming, and they're going to need to have extraordinary faith, extraordinary fear of the holiness of God in such a way that not only would they not cross it, but why would they want to? Our God is powerful. He's powerful to save. He is just to make righteous those who are seeking him, and he is just to condemn those who won't. They're experiencing the power of God in the story, and it's devastating. Has it happened in other parts of history? Probably. I think any time the Holy Spirit has shown up that immediately, where miracles are happening just by the shadow of somebody crossing somebody's path, something's going on here that God is so intense about in our presence that we cannot dare play with fire.
Right. Well, he is building his church. This is the foundation for everything to come.
Yeah.
I believe that God took that very seriously.
I think he still does.
Yes, he takes that very seriously, building that foundation. And I think that's another reason why in the Gospels where Jesus says, woe to him who leads a little one astray, a young one astray. And I don't think that just means children, but those young in their faith. There was a lot of youngsters, a lot of young in their faith, babies in their faith in this church. And if someone like Ananias and Sapphira come along and perpetuate, get away with, if you will, this lie, it makes for a shaky foundation. And others will see that. Then it just begins to upset what the Holy Spirit is trying to do here.
And I will not glory in the demise of anybody.
No.
And the scripture itself says the people were thrown not into horror or into fear that their lives were next, but into a kind of a holy awe. This is the kind of God that we are being loved and pursued by. I think God was winning their hearts and stealing their nerves and preparing them for the things to come by, for lack of a better term, making an example of those who would test the very limits and the awareness of God and treat him trivially. So I think the church runs great mortal risk in trivializing the gospel and his holiness. And I'm not talking about all the raft of social issues that we're debating right now. I'm just talking about his presence, period. Where he is holy ground. Not about an issue, not about an idea, about the place. If we're in the presence of God, it's holy. And if he invites us into that place, however weak we are, however sinful we started the day, if he invites us in, he is going to wash us white as snow to be able to be present with him. So we dare not tarnish ourselves by throwing dirty rags back on as we approach him.
One of the things that you said previously about this chapter was that this place that the congregation was invited into, this place of bringing their offerings before the Lord, was like the Holy of Holies. They are coming into the Holy of Holies with an offering, and it's tainted. It's not a pure offering. It's not a holy, honest offering.
It's not whole in terms of it being complete. It's carved up.
Right.
So God's precious lamb, his gift, the sacrifice of all his, has been stolen away from him.
It seems to me that what Peter is saying here is, you know, you could have just said, hey, we're just going to give this much out of the total amount.
You could have.
We're going to keep this back because whatever reason. And they would have been completely all right with that.
Because the total offering as offered would have been offered.
Right.
Instead of pretended. So it sounds to me like the pretension of pretending to be all in is something that deeply offends the heart of God. Is that not true today?
Are you hot or cold?
Do you want it both ways? Those are tough lessons. And that's about as far as we can go in today's program, so I'm going to wrap up the thought there. Let's just go to the next few verses and see what's ahead in chapter 5, and we'll come back to that the next program.
So beginning in verse 12, it says, the apostles performed many signs, wonders, and miracles among the people. And the believers were wonderfully united as they met regularly in the temple courts in the area known as Solomon's Porch. And no one dared harm them, for everyone held them in high regard.
So there's an awe that spread directly from them, almost like a virus around the city. So that phrase, so that, is important to me, honey. It tells me that because God did this holy and righteous thing, he reestablished his primacy and said, I am no wishy-washy or pushover God. This is the God you read about in all of those old scriptures. This is the one that led the Jews out of Egypt and into the promised land. This is the God that vanquished enemies and set up kings and destroyed them. Same God, same passion, same fury against evil and wickedness. This is the God that we are being invited into the throne room of God and invited to the wedding feast.
Beautiful.
This is a party we're having with the most powerful God ever, because he's the only God ever. That flows into the next thing, which is, so then, as a result of these things, they went right to the temple and began prophesying and teaching and preaching, and healings and signs and wonders were taking place. So I don't know that we ever get to that place of seeing the hand of God at work without there having been a worthy sacrifice to prepare for it. That there was something that was offered up and some awe and wonder that was given to God because he showed up, they acknowledged him, therefore he was willing to work through them to reach others and show himself in mighty works. And we'll come back to more of that on the next program in the series. So, honey, let's just pray real quick for our friends out there in Compassion Radio country. Father God, we thank you so much for the power of your word to make alive those things which might have been dead within us. You ought to resurrect your word as a living thing, as the person of Jesus in the very core of our being. So we do ask you to do that today. Maybe there are folks that are listening to this program that are just now discovering that Compassion Radio is going to talk about the word directly, too. It's something new to them. Well, it's at the heart of our ministry, Lord. It always has been. And thank you for the opportunity to kind of bring it to the front on these special days. And for my wife's insight and wisdom, I am deeply honored, Lord, that you have given her to me to help work this thing through together. And that maybe our example can be a little bit of a nudge, an impetus to others to reach out and try this for themselves and to bring you close to others by sharing openly about what you're doing in their hearts. So for those who are wanting that kind of intimacy and fellowship and friendship in the Word, I pray you would give them the courage to find somebody, that you would grant them somebody to be with them in this pursuit along with us. And bring us back around this table together again to learn more about your Word and learn more about how a missional church has always behaved and has always dealt with the reality of sin and evil in the world and has always triumphed over the plans of the evil one by the word of their testimony and by the blood of that Lamb, you, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for all these things. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. And I would just like to say that those of you listening now, we would love to hear from you what your thoughts are on these chapters that we've been going through in Acts. We by no means have the end-all be-all answers to what's happening. It's just our thoughts on these things as God has led us. So please send us emails, letters, phone calls even if you want. We would love to hear.
And here's Frank to tell us more about how you can do that.
This is Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. If you missed anything today, you can listen again anytime. Just open up a browser on your computer, smartphone, or tablet and go to CompassionRadio.com. And while you're there, go ahead and take a moment to find out more about this ministry. Again, it's CompassionRadio.com. Now, if you liked what you heard, please consider supporting Compassion Radio. First, with your prayers. When you pray for us, God increases the effectiveness of this ministry by empowering the Compassion Radio team for service and by opening doors of opportunity for us to be a blessing to the body of Christ. Second, please share this broadcast with a friend or loved one. This will help us reach as many people as possible with the important work God is doing in the lives of those who live in a missional way. And finally, please consider supporting this ministry financially. Compassion Radio is 100% listener-supported. That means it's your gifts that make it possible for us to continue. You can support Compassion Radio right now by calling 800-868-2478 or by visiting CompassionRadio.com. When you're there, just click on the Donate button. Again, it's 800-868-2478 or CompassionRadio.com. Now, if you'd like to show your support using your smartphone or tablet, you can just text the word COMPASSION to 53445. That's the word COMPASSION to 53445. And of course, you can always mail your gift to Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Thanks again so very much for taking the time out of your busy day to listen. And please be sure to join us again for more Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. This program is sponsored by Compassion Ventures Incorporated and your generous financial support.
Hello, friends. This is Bram Floria, president of Compassion Radio. Everything we do is done with the intent to build you up in the Christian faith and to give you opportunities to help build the kingdom around the world. All through the month of March, we have the great privilege of celebrating our 75th anniversary. It's hard to believe that this unique radio ministry has been on the air for 75 years. Even more amazing, Compassion Radio is the only completely listener-supported radio program on the air this long. We are not funded by a huge church organization or wealthy benefactor. You are our church, our sending agency, and our partners. I know that God has been working through you to make it possible for us to do this work each and every day. Right now, I want to offer you a special opportunity. If this broadcast has ever challenged you in your faith, inspired you to serve, or encouraged you in any way to do better in your walk with God, please let us know right now by supporting this daily radio ministry and the international mission projects of Compassion Radio with your prayers and with your financial support. Please, friends, reach out today to show us that support as we celebrate 75 years of broadcasting a message of hope found in Christ alone. If you're able to invest with a one-time, or better yet, a regular monthly gift, It will go a long, long way to making sure we remain on the air for another 75 years. You can reach us by calling 1-800-868-2478 or by visiting CompassionRadio.com. When you're there, just click the donate button at the top. Again, our toll-free number is 1-800-868-2478, and our website is CompassionRadio.com. And new for this year, you can give right through your phone. Just text the word COMPASSION to 53445. That's the word COMPASSION to 53445. And of course, you can always mail your gift to Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. A final word about our current Door of Hope project. This month's special matching grant of $4,000 is well underway, so please get a hold of us right away to make sure we meet that goal this month. Thanks so much for your prayerful consideration. We hope to hear from you soon.